Hello, Saints. It's good to be back with you again. Let's go to the war. Let's go to the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for being our God and our Savior. We praise you, Father, so much for the relationship that you've given us for you to you, Lord. We thank you so much for your kindness. We thank you so much that we don't live under that old covenant. And we thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. The outpouring of your spirit to empower us to be those things that we can never be otherwise. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not us, but it's Christ in us who does the work. We praise you for that, Lord. We ask, Father, that you help us today to get this word out of faith, to believe what the word says, and we praise you and thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to talk about today about the things that we talk about as a Christian. When you've done all to stand, stand is the title of my study today. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And if you want to know those evil things he's talking about, the 13th chapter of Numbers tells us what God called an evil report. The spies were sent in to spy out the land. And 10 of them came back and gave an evil report. They told what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. Now, what was so evil about that? Well, it's the fact that what they heard, what they saw, and what they felt was exactly contrary to what God had said. God said, I've given you the land. And what they were supposed to do was go over there and plan their strategy on how they would take that land from the enemy for themselves. They were not to go over there and see if they could take it. They were to go there and decide how they were going to do it. And what happened? They came back and they said, whoa, my goodness, there's giants over there. Because we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, thank God. If faith will move a mountain, it'll whittle a giant down to size, glory to God. God said the things they saw, the things they heard, and the things they felt were an evil report. We've all done it. We've been given, going to the God and giving him an evil report. And we said in our prayers, it didn't work, Lord. It's getting worse. I prayed and it didn't work out. Well, what makes you think it didn't work out? We say, well, you see, it looks worse. And I feel like things are getting worse. Folks, that's an evil report against the word of God. You're not to be moved by what you see, what you feel, or what you hear. You're only to be moved by what the Word of God says and say only what the Word says. The Word says it will work out, and all we need to do is stand on that. The Bible says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore in Ephesians 6, 13 and 14, it didn't say turn and run. It didn't say give up and say, dear Lord, it ain't working. It says when you've done all to stand, stand, just stand there. You mean don't do anything? Yeah, that's what I mean. Just stand there. Somebody might say, well, what'll I do? I prayed and it's just not working out. Well, the first thing to do is shut your mouth. Second, just stand there. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. It'll work out if you have believed God. So we need to watch our words, don't we? A lot of times we've gotten off of faith and cast out God's word and started believing what the devil said. You release the ability of Satan when you start saying what he said. Did you know that fear activates the devil? And faith brings God on the scene. before you ever make a confession that comes into your head, ask yourself, who said that? What is its source? And if it doesn't agree with the word, you know who said it. The devil said it. Don't quote it, because if you do, that's his deception. Did you know that the devil doesn't have any power over the believer? The only ability Satan can exercise over you is the ability to deceive you. If he can get you to believe his lies, he's got you playing right into his hands. And if you go quoting what he said, brother, he can put it on you stiff and strong. And all your praying ain't going to help you any. And I want you to see that you've moved God out of your problem and moved Satan in by your confession. You've said that you've made this confession. Lord, it's getting worse. It ain't getting any better. What you've done, you stopped God's ability right then, immediately. Maybe it was just about to come into manifestation, but now what you've done, you have established Satan's word in the earth, that it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. You have established Satan's word by your mouth. God's word says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, Psalms 119:89. God's word is already settled in heaven. The word says in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He didn't say keys to the kingdom. He said keys of the kingdom. And the problem with the church today is that most of them are binding their finances. They're binding their spiritual growth by saying, the devil's hindering me. The devil just won't let me do what I want to do. But don't ask him. Don't ask the devil about it. Go ahead and do it. You see, sometimes we kind of butted up with him and communicated with him. And he's told us, he said, oh, you can't do that. And then we speak it out of our own mouth. Well, that devil's been hindering me all week. I just can't get nothing done. Have you heard people say that the devil's so smart, he will just put one over on you before you know it, and he'll just come and foul things up before you even know it? I've heard him say that many times. What you just did with that confession is to release the ability of Satan to come in and put it over on you. You said it with your mouth. He comes up behind me when I don't know it, and he just fouls the works up. Now, if God came in and stop that, he would have to violate his word, because he said you can have what you say. And what you said is Satan smarter than I am. Then he comes in because you have indicated that Satan is smarter than God and he's more powerful than God. And you don't have a bit of scripture for that. But you do have plenty of scripture that says God is more powerful than the devil. And he will put you over every time you act on the word. God will do that. World overcoming faith dwells on the inside of each one of us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Glory to God. So you've got a lot of scripture to back you up in that, but you don't have any to back you up that Satan's smarter than God or smarter than you. When you are in Christ, you have access to the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Satan ain't all that smart, folks. Can you imagine somebody still fighting when he's already whipped? That's pretty stupid, ain't it? If you don't believe we have already run, all you got to do is go to the back of the book. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Revelation 12:11 says, And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By what? The blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. That's the word of their mouth. Did you notice that word overcame? The back of the book says that you won, praise God. Establish that and quit agreeing with the devil. Quit prolonging agony in your life. Get in this thing and agree with what God said, because you have already won. It's not your fight. Jesus already fought it for you. And thank God he won. You ought to be able to see that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 said, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Praise God forevermore. Now, the authority of words. Let's go back to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Look at verse 36. Jesus is speaking now. Ain't nobody spoke with more authority than Jesus. Thank God. When Jesus spoke, he meant it. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He never talked any foolishness. And he said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, "And I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Now that word idle means non-effective or non-working word. He said that every word you speak that's not working for you will have to be given account for you by you in the day of judgment. You know, when I saw that, I said, I'm going to start watching my words. I'd been saying a lot of those idle words, and they weren't working for me. They were working against me, not for me. And he said, if they're not working for you, you will give account for them. I wonder how that's going to happen. How's that going to work? Well, here's what I think is going to happen. Some folks are going to come to the judgment seat of Christ, and there they are about to get their reward, and the Lord's going to say, "Now look, here's what you could have had." Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Then he says, "But here's what you get." Uh-oh. Have you ever wondered where those tears are going to come from that he said he would wipe away? Because you saw what you could have had, then you saw what you're getting. And you're going to say, "Oh, but Lord, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done all of that." And he's going to say, "See, if you had given to this missionary, souls could have been saved. If you had done this or you had done that," and you might come up and say, "I didn't have the money. I didn't have it to give. I wasn't able to do that. I'm not able to give this like I should. I couldn't get my hands on enough to give anyway." Here's what God's going to say. "That's the same problem you were having on earth. You were agreeing with the devil. It's true you didn't have the money in your possession." Then he's going to show you somebody else that said, "Here's a man who didn't have the money either, but he said, my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. Therefore, I confess I have abundance, and there is no lack. I have all sufficiency of all things." The word says, "I do, and I thank you, Father, for it. Therefore, I give it in faith, and Father, you will cause it to come to me in the name of Jesus." He got what he said, and here's his reward. He used his words wisely. And he'll say, "If you would have said what I said, if you had agreed to what I said, you could have had the better reward. But you said what the devil said. You didn't lose your soul, but you lost your reward." You know, we're justified or we're condemned by our words. And you can see that words work for or against you. He said, you're going to be justified or condemned by the words of your mouth. And it says in Matthew 12 and 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, actually, he's not talking about condemning you to hell. He's talking about things you can have in this life on earth and rewards of heaven. And we need to watch what we say, to set a watch on our mouth, right? Now, in the third chapter of Romans, verses 3 and 4, the word says, "For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid, yet let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. In other words, he said that if somebody comes up with that old unbelief dripping off of them, like molasses off a syrup bucket, saying, I don't believe it's going to work this time. What he said was, let God be true and that man a liar, that thou might be justified in thy words and might prevail when thou come into judgment. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged on who you believe, God or man. Man says it's getting worse. You can't do that. And I'll tell you, it's not just the world that says that. There are a lot of Christians that I think sometimes they have been sprinkled with fear, rolled in doubt, stuffed with unbelief, and insulated to the Word of God. They'll believe everything but the Word of God. And some will sit there and swallow the enemy's biggest lie, but they won't believe God's simplest truth. They'll say, oh yeah, brother, I know that's in the Bible, but you don't understand. Yeah, I understand. If the Word says it's working, well, bless God, it's going to work. And what you're saying is that the Word don't work. You don't understand. I still hurt. But the Word says that you're healed. Don't misunderstand, folks, what I'm saying. I don't deny that pain exists, nor do I deny the existence of disease. But I do deny its right to continue in my body. Glory to God. Feelings change. The Word does not change. If you don't feel healed, go to the Word and get you some feelings. Glory to God. The Word of God in your spirit will change your physical feelings. There's a saying out there for Christians that truth can change fact. Well, the truth is the Word, and fact are the circumstances. Truth can change fact, but fact cannot change truth. And the Word brings health, glory to God. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The Word will bring health to the physical body. And the question is, if some didn't believe what you say concerning healings for your body or financial needs met, would that unbelief stop the God kind of faith from working? God forbid that ever from happening. Let man be liars, but allow God's Word to be proven true. Notice he said, for you to allow the Word to become truly manifested. Well, praise God. That thou mayest be justified in thy sayings. Confession of the Word. It says in Matthew 10, verse 32, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Now what did he say? He said, those who will confess me before men, I'll confess before the Father who is in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Jesus and his Word are the same thing. You can't separate them. And he implies that if you are confessing Jesus, you are confessing the Word. He is the living Word of God. He said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, everyone therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In Greek, it could have read this way, then I will give you an audience with the Father. In other words, he's going to set you right up there before the Father, praise God. John said in 1 John 5:15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. In other words, if you get an audience with the Father, You're going to get your prayer answered. And Jesus said, if you confess me before men, confess my word before men, he said, you're going to get an audience before the Father. Glory to God. Sometimes we have confessed, I don't know what to do. That won't work. And I don't believe that's going to work out. Then we have prayed about it, believing in unbelief. And you don't get an audience with the Father with that kind of prayer. Did you know that you can believe in unbelief? Well, actually, there's a lot of people out there that have faith in unbelief. And that's what you're doing when you say, I can't do what the Word says I can do. Well, here's an example. The Word says that he that is born of God overcomes the world. He that is born of God overcomes the world. You have overcome because the greater one is in you. Now, if you deny that, you're in unbelief and have released faith in a negative statement. But I can't. I'm not able. Here's what Jesus said. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. He said that he'll deny you. Now, Jesus is the go-between, and you need to see that. Excuse me. He's making intercession for us. He is the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, Hebrews 3:1. And that means that Jesus confesses to the Father what we say as long as it agrees with the Word. In other words, he said, if you confess my word before men, I'll confess what you say before the Father. And you'll get an audience before the Father. And he said, what you pray that agrees with the Word, I'll see to it that it gets to the Father. And you'll have an audience with him. And then you'll get your prayer answered. But if you don't do it, he says, I'll deny you before the Father. It won't be transferred or transmitted to him. When you start praying and say, Lord, I prayed and it ain't working out, that's a statement of unbelief, and you have released faith in that unbelief. Jesus is not going to his Father and say, Father, he prayed, but it ain't working out for him. That's against the Word of God. I hope you can see that. And he will deny that statement before the Father. When you pray that way, your prayer never gets to heaven. You can forget it. It ain't going nowhere. How many of you know God's word is wisdom? We find in the book of Proverbs that there are some things that we have stumbled over and have not looked upon because they're in the Old Testament. You see, a lot of times people say, well, you know, the Old Testament is just history. But Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived until Jesus showed up, wrote these Proverbs. He said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20-23. So keep your spirit or your heart with all diligence, for the forces of life come from the heart. And that word heart refers to the center of man's being, which is his spirit. Now, here the writer of Proverbs, inspired of the Holy Spirit, is saying the same thing that Jesus said. The good things come out of your heart or out of your spirit. Verse 24, put away from thee a wayward mouth and perverse lip put far from thee, or speaking contrary to what the Word of God says. For the Word is the wisdom of God. God's Word is His wisdom. You know, when we speak contrary to God's Word and say it's not working out, I prayed, but it's not working out, that's what God calls perverse speech. That's against the Word of God. You know, God's Word is His wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that. when we speak contrary to His word and say, it ain't working out. I prayed, but it's not working out. Folks, that's perverse speech, and that's against the word of God. So we need to watch our language. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Now understand this. Words work. And they will work for you just as they work for Jesus. They are working for you or against you, whether you realize it or not. Let me show you something before we go any further, how the words that you say are working. You know, I've had people come and say, I'm just so nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous. Well, I can probably tell you that if you go in their home, you've heard most of them say no less than 10 times that day that those kids make me so nervous, they just drive me up the wall. Jesus said, you can have what you say. You know what? We have programmed our vocabulary with the devil's language. We have brought sickness and disease into our vocabulary and even death. The main word so many people use to express themselves is death. That word, death. Well, I'm just dying to do that, they'll say. I'm going to die if I don't. That just tickled me to death. Folks, that's perverse speech, and it's contrary to God's word, because death is of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, since the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Revelation 20 and 14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Folks, we don't need to buddy up with death. All men are going to die soon enough, so don't start buddying up with it now. You know, Adam was smarter than that. It took that devil over 900 years to kill him. But now, the devil has programmed his language into the human race until people can kill themselves in about 70 years or less by speaking his words. When we say that tickled me to death, that's contrary to the word of God. So take notice to what the word says about the mouth and the tongue. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a fountain of life. Glory to God. And then Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. The foolish die for lack of understanding. 24, the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, and the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And the thing you fear will come upon you. Fear will activate Satan. Job activated Satan by his fear. Job 3:25, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. So active faith in the word brings God on the scene. Fear brings Satan on the scene. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous bringeth forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue shall be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous, they know what is acceptable. What is acceptable in our speech? What God said. In fact, you'll find that when you begin to quote what God said, it's just as though God said it. And if you said it in faith, it's coming out your heart. And it's just as if God said it. And it'll work for you just like it worked for him. And if you program your spirit with the word of God, believe and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things which you are saying, it will come to pass. You see, there's more to it than just saying it. The words must originate from the inner man, where spiritual power is released through your words. Now, I want you to notice with me in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. The wicked have talked against our nation. And let me tell you, a lot of Christians have done the same thing. I've done it. They have said, oh, that bunch of idiots up there, they don't know what they're doing. When they should have been saying and praying, thank God, I believe God, to give those men in Washington the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of our nation. If Christians would do that, it might change. It would change the situation in Washington. And some of us have started doing that. And that's already happening to some degree. God has started cleaning out some problem areas in our government right now. God has been brought on the scene because of faith-filled words. So we need to start saying, I thank God that the leaders of our nation have the wisdom of God. Pray for them daily. Father, give them the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of life and to protect the people of this nation. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 6 says, the words of the wicked are of lying in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. What's going to deliver them? The mouth of the upright. So deliverance is as close as your mouth is. The mouth contains the tongue that controls faith and fear. Words produce after their kind. And we need to understand this. And when we start speaking what God said, that devil going to sit up and take notice. God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Well, who's going to do it? We have always thought God was going to do it. God said, if you will do my word, you have done it, and I'll see that it's performed. Well, I prayed, Father, you make this prosper, but I was not doing the word. God told me, he said, you do my word, and it will prosper. He said, you have made your way prosperous. So we need to choose the words of life. Proverbs 12 and 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. The fruit of his mouth would be what his mouth produced, right? In other words, by the produce of his mouth, he will be satisfied or disappointed. The words of his mouth should cause him to be satisfied with good. And in that same chapter, it says in verse 17, he that utters truth shows forth righteousness. Well, what is truth? The word of God is truth, and it shows forth righteousness. Proverbs 12 and 18. There is that speaks righteously like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, you better get this one. This is stout. He said, there are people speaking, and it's just like jabbing a sword in you and cutting you and damaging you or damaging themselves. They are desiring something from God, but they're cutting themselves up spiritually by saying, oh, I'm so unworthy. I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why the Lord won't heal me. Those are people who are unbelievers. They're using their tongues to destroy their faith, and they're using their God-given ability to hold themselves in bondage. Because God gave you the ability to use your tongue to create a better life by speaking words that are full of faith. And the choice is ours, whether you will speak them or not. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to read 9 through 19. O Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in all the work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of law. If thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not too hard for thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, and make us to hear it, that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us and make us to hear it, that we may do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest in to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land, whether thou passest over the Jordan to go in to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. Ooh, that's the tongue of the wise, isn't it? But the tongue of the wise is health. Praise God. The wise talk health. They talk life. They talk healing. Proverbs 12 and 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. The just know what is acceptable. They speak God's word concerning their deliverance. Psalms 107 and verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They speak God's word in the face of apparent defeat. Romans 16 and 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Glory to God. Proverbs 13 and 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. The word said it will even change a grocery basket. Glory to God. He shall live good by the fruit of his mouth. Did you know that shall, S-H-A-L-L, is one of the strongest words in the English language? That word shall doesn't mean maybe or sometimes. Have you ever said this? Oh, we just can't afford that. I can't make the money last to the end of the month. We just can't afford the things we need. Jesus said just the opposite. He said he came that you might have abundance. Some have said, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't have the money. Well, that's beside the point. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal your finances. He comes to kill your faith and destroy your health. Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The little Greek reads that he might undo the works of the devil. Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And we find in Deuteronomy the 28th through the 30th chapters that the curse of the law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty was part of the curse, and Christ redeemed us from it. Glory to God. Now, you might not feel like you're redeemed from poverty. You may even look like you are. But again, that's beside the point. The word says you are. Be smart enough to agree with God. Don't quote what the devil said. Glory to God. If God said I ought to have abundance, then bless God, I'm going to agree with him and I'm going to have abundance. 3 John chapter 2 said, or verse 2 said, beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, whether I ever get it or not, that's up to God. As long as I say what he said and do what he said do, I'm doing my part, And I guarantee you, you can rest assured that God's going to do his part. Now, I didn't say go out there and write a bunch of hot checks, and I didn't say live above your means either. All I'm saying is speak God's word until it brings your means up to where you desire to live. Now, let's read in the New Testament, starting in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 20 through 26. But be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man thinks himself to be religious while he bridles not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. A lot of folks seem religious. They even have a religious tone of voice. But the word said if he doesn't control his tongue, it'll destroy all that he said he believed. And you can say you believe the Bible, but if you don't control your tongue, it's going to cause the word to become ineffective. And as far as you are concerned, it will be just as though it didn't exist. The devil will come in forcibly and trample you in the dust as long as he controls your words. And you need to know what the word of God says about you. Determine now to know what the new covenant contract says about yourself. Start saying what the word says. If you want to walk in life and health, start speaking it. Confess it now. God will perfect that which concerns me. Psalms 138 and 8. Any man that seems to be religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and that man's religion is vain or empty. So watch your words. Choose words of life and health. And God's word is truth. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. Yet let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despises the word brings destruction upon himself. Shall be destroyed because he has rejected the truth. You know, truth is the stabilizing force of life. And the word of God is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus also said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus spoke spirit words and they became a stabilizing forces of life. Jesus spoke only that which he heard the Father say. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus spoke God's word continually. He was established in his Father's word. He overcame the world. He overcame the flesh and the devil by the spoken word. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Matthew 4:4, 7, and 10 verses tell us that the only thing that Jesus used against the devil was the spoken word. He spoke the written word. It is written, devil. Well, oh, thank God, it's still written today. Glory, hallelujah. However, in book form, the word has no power until we read it or we speak it. Praise God. Now in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says this, and why call ye me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now Jesus is about to tell you how important it is to practice the word or to be a performer of the word. Verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now I want you to notice this man dug deep and started building his foundation on something that was already established and was unshakable. What was that something? That was the word of God. His life was based upon God's word. And although they beat upon him, the flood and the stream couldn't shake him. Circumstances won't shake a man who believes the word of God. Psalms 112:7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. However, over in Luke 6:49, it says, but he that hears and does not is like a man that built an house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the streams break, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. What caused this man to be defeated in life? It wasn't a flood, and it wasn't a stream. Actually, they had nothing to do with the destruction. He heard the same word, but his life was not based upon the word. He didn't do the word. He suffered great loss needlessly. Now, if you'll notice, it didn't say one was saved and the other was not. The indication is that both came unto him and both heard what he said. Today, many are born again and hear the word, but hearing the word is not the foundation spoken of in the above verses. Doing the word is the foundation that made man successful in life. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. God's word is the only true knowledge. And it'll make you stable when the storms of life come upon you. Speaking God's word will bring God on the scene, because he says in Jeremiah 1:12, I'll watch over my word to perform it, and to despise, reject, or even to disagree with the word opens the door to Satan. If you despise the word, you've invited destruction into your life. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous, he says in Proverbs 13:22. How many of you have read that scripture before? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. And folks, it's beginning to change hands. When you and I begin to act on the word of God, when we get our speech in line with the word of God, we're going to see God move in our behalf. A lot of times we say, oh, it looks like the wicked prosper. Well, we said they were, and that's one reason they're prospering. Glory to God, quit saying it. You have said, oh, they can do just anything, and whatever they do will prosper. What you've been doing is releasing faith to prosper the wicked. The words of the believer are powerful when spoken in faith. Jesus said this. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. And too many times, we have had more faith that the wicked would prosper than we did in God's word to put us over. And that's totally unscriptural. We read in Isaiah 54:14-15, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Praise God. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Now let's go down to verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now we need to make this our confession. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Psalms chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 says, Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I want you to notice the word said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. He doesn't say whatsoever the wicked does. Verses 4 and 5 of the same chapter says this in Psalms 1. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So you can see that it is against the word of God to say the wicked prosper and I suffer need. Don't be saying that. Learn to put the word into confession form and confess this before you go any further. No weapon formed against me will prosper, but whatsoever I do will prosper. And all you need to do is say it again aloud and do it over and over. Let these words penetrate your spirit. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. So we need to start agreeing with the word. Start agreeing with the word that your prosperity is sure, physically, spiritually, and financially. The third epistle of John, verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, don't start praying that the wicked will lose everything they have. That will get you into trouble. Just start confessing. Thank God the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And I thank God I am the just, and I'll get my part by acting on the word. They haven't acted on the word. And God said that the wicked shall be cut off. Their names will rot. They won't be found. Notice in Proverbs 14:3, In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise will preserve them. They will preserve him through financial crisis. They will preserve him when they say there's a recession or a depression. His lips will preserve him if he confesses what the word says and if he acts on the word. Now let's look at creative ability. The tongue of the wise uttereth knowledge aright. Proverbs 15:2. The knowledge that we have, we are to use it aright or rightly. The tongue of the wise utters knowledge. It is the tongue that makes good use of knowledge. Proverbs 15:4 says, A gentle tongue is a tree of life. A gentle tongue will bring healing as a tree of life. The wholesome tongue has that creative ability. Now down to verse 13. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The word says, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And we've prayed a lot of times, Oh Lord, just break me, break me, break me. He don't want you broken. He wants you acting on the word. Now notice over in verse 15, All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Oh, thank God forevermore. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Then I didn't laugh until I thought I'd die. I laughed until I knew I would live forever and have a feast while I'm doing it. Praise God. The word says he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, Psalms 23:5. And oh, praise God, you can have it now, folks, here on this earth. You start confessing what the word of God says about your life and the way God wants you to live, and you'll start walking in it. I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.